Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Tens of millions of Americans are expected to watch tonight's presidential debate between Democrat Kamala Harris and Republican Donald Trump. Political analyst Amy Dacey.
This is the first time that they've been on stage together. I certainly think that's why we'll have more eyes on this. These debates are the only opportunities during campaigns to have these candidates within the same space, seeing them react to each other.
Firefighters in Southern California are trying to beat back the Line wildfire.
Crews are going to be utilizing the aerial assets this morning while we see clear skies, get some fixed wing in, try to slow the progress of the fire and get some containment line put in.
It's burning on nearly 27,000 acres. The Kentucky State Police continue to search for the man who opened fire on a highway near the city of London Saturday.
Our main focus is to remain in those woods until we find him. And some people say, well, what if he's not alive anymore? Well, we're going to stay in the woods till we find him.
CBS News Brief, I'm Heather Bosch.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Airports in Wisconsin are getting a share of $34 million from Washington for upgrades. The airport in Appleton is getting $3 million to add on to its terminal building. The airport in Madison is getting $6 million to fix up its taxiways. After Kamala Harris and Donald Trump debate tonight, the campaign resumes at full speed. Lisa Hale reports.
Tim Walz will be in Wausau on Friday and Superior on Saturday. Walz and Vice President Harris plan to hit every battleground state in just 4 days. While Walz stumps in Wisconsin and Michigan, Harris plans to be in North Carolina and Pennsylvania. I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News.
Debate coverage begins on many Civic Media stations and online tonight at 7:30. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, September 11th. The City of Wisconsin Rapids Police and Fire Commission will meet at 7:30 a.m. in the first floor conference room at City Hall. The Wood County Highway Infrastructure and Recreation Committee will meet at 8 a.m. at the Highway Department Conference Room. The Wisconsin Rapids Wastewater Treatment Commission will meet at 1:30. The Waterworks and Lighting Commission will meet at 2. The North Central Wisconsin Tourism Partnership Tourism Committee will also meet at 2 by teleconference. The McMillan Memorial Library Finance Committee will meet at 4. The Building and Grounds Committee meeting will follow at 5. The Town of Grand Rapids will hold their town board meeting at 6. In Adams County, the Public Safety and Judiciary Committee will meet from 9 to 11 at the Adams County Courthouse. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers will have to get by without QB1. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Jordan Love is expected to miss 3 to 6 weeks with an MCL sprain, and head coach Matt LaFleur says that rumors of the Packers looking for another quarterback are unfounded.
Despite reports, it's crazy to me, like how people come up with some of these things, and I think you're always you explore every possibility, but at no point in time did we ever have any discussions with anybody.
On Sunday, it will be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts as each team seeks its first victory. Wisconsin football plays Alabama this week, and head coach Luke Fickell says that they're the best program in college football.
Over the last 20 years, who's been the best team in college football? And there's no doubt it's been Alabama. So regardless of where they are at this moment, this is as good a football team that there is in the country and has been for a really, really long time. And
kickoff is at 11 a.m. Saturday. And tonight, the Brewers begin a 6-game road trip in San Francisco. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska for Civic Media Sports.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Evening clouds with maybe a sprinkle or brief shower. Partly cloudy tonight. Low upper 50s. Mostly sunny and warmer for Wednesday and Thursday. Highs into the mid-80s. Partly cloudy and low 80s Friday. Maybe an isolated shower or storm Saturday. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Midday Magazine. Talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday, how you vote in November could determine whether China starts paring back its carbon emissions or feels it has a blank check to pollute all it wants.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, September 10th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two at 4:30, it's Let's Talk Real Estate with Cole of Manker Sea Realtors. David Farnborough will be joining us. Looking forward to talking with him. Right now, we have with us in studio our good friends from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. We have Promise with us, Marketing and Communications Director. Promise, it is good to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
How you been?
Good. Really good.
Yeah. Things rolling okay over there at the Chamber?
Yep. We just got done with our Downtown Grand Affair on Sunday. It was a really great event. We had a little over 90 cars that showed up for the car show. And then we did a head count around noon, and there's about 1,200 people there. So rough estimate, we're estimating about 2,000 people that stopped in at our vendor show on Sunday. So it was really great.
I was helping my daughter with some things. I was out of town for a little bit. And out of town, I heard about it.
Oh, wow.
In another town, I heard. I heard really good things about the event. It's so good to hear. And we got some great events coming up. We got some community events coming up, Promise. And we want to remind everybody as well that there is Chamber Cash available. The Chamber Cash calendar is available.
Yes, so we did our first Chamber Cash calendar drawing at Downtown Grand Affair on Sunday. So what this is, it's a calendar raffle, and people who had purchased tickets are now in the drawing. So we started our drawings, and our next drawing is today. Today is sponsored by First State Bank, and it's for a $100 gift certificate to a Chamber gift certificate. So those gift certificates you can redeem at any of the member businesses in town here. But the calendar goes until the 27th. We do a drawing every day except for Saturdays and Sundays. So stay tuned on our Facebook page. We will be posting those winners. And for more information, you can always, give us a call or visit our website at wisconsinrapidschamber.com.
If somebody misses the Facebook post, Promise, are you guys reaching out to winners and such to make sure that they find out?
Yes, we are giving them a phone call. So hopefully everybody put their phone number on their ticket stubs there. But yeah, we definitely give phone calals out. And then I think there's 30 days to claim them. Mm-hmm. So if you get your name drawn, get in the chamber and pick up your gift certificate.
Right on. Oh, it's a fun one. We look forward to this every year. Got some other upcoming networking events that we're looking forward to. Networking at night. I want to get into this one with you, Promise.
Yeah, so our next networking at night is next Monday, September 16th. The city of Nakusa is hosting that one over at their community building there in Nakusa. It's open to members and future members, so people can get together and network with other area businesses. There's going to be music, some games. There's going to be a 50-50 raffle. Those have been going really well for us this year. Everybody's been getting in on those. I think this will be our third 50-50 raffle this year, third or fourth, but most of the times it's a little over $600 somebody takes home with those 50-50s.
Nice.
And then we also have, raffle prizes, and, they'll have appetizers there. So that's on Monday, September 16th at the Nakusa Community Center from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
That's nice.
Nicely done. There is something about having a raffle attached to your event. Like, people just love raffles around here. It's so good to hear. And that's going to be a great one. Another great way to also communicate, to kind of get to know your community, get to know other business people in your community. It's a fun way of doing that. And I have to say that whether it is Coffee with the Chamber or some other events of yours that you guys host over there, I keep hearing from people how hard it is the older you get to meet new people and to make friends. So networking wise and the connections you can make are certainly great for your business, no matter what you do and no matter how big or small your business might be. But there is that part of it, that kind of, if you don't mind, I think added bonus to these events of, hey, you actually might make a new friend. Might or just see somebody you haven't seen in a long time or something like that and be able to connect. Business is important, and you guys are so good at not only promoting our local businesses but giving our local businesses opportunity to work together, which I really appreciate. But I gotta say, I mean, that part of it is really cool too, that you might just get to hang out with some people and some other adults, you know, which is always nice, especially a lot of parents out there don't mind that.
Yep, networking with a purpose.
Yes, very well said. And networking exchange for women professionals. This is another great one you have coming up.
Yep. So this one is a smaller group. It's open to members. If you are not a member, there's a minimal fee for that one, I believe. It's free, and it's happening on September 25th at 8:30 a.m. and it goes until about 10 o'clock. So it's going to be at Prevail Bank this time. The Network Exchange for Women Professionals is growing, so we have to find space where we can fit more attendees.
That's a good problem.
Yeah. And this one you do have to register for, so go online at our website at wisconsinrapidschamber.com to register. Registration closes on the 18th. And then Jenny Revels from Revels Consulting will be there. She'll be our host for the day. And her discussion topic is she'll be covering hustle to balance, finding you again, kind of going over, you know, what it's like to be a woman in the workforce right now, where you have to, you know, go home and, you know, take care of the house and the kids and the activities. And then also, you know, keeping your head on while you're at work and, you know, having all those multiple roles that you play. So kind of helping you facilitate like a little bit of a balance in your life. It's a really great discussion. I'm excited for it. And it's filling up pretty fast. So don't forget to register.
With an event like this, Promise, I understand that I don't understand. I have a lot of empathy and a lot of understanding, and at the same time understand that I have no idea what it is like to do with some of the things you just talked about. It is something that I was raised by a hippie feminist, and something that my mother made very adamant to me about that. And it was, I shouldn't say to me so much as to my sister, was the importance of women supporting women. And how important that would be going forward. We're talking early 90s that she was doing this. To think of where we are now with these kind of things, that this is not, you know, this is not new. A women professional group getting together and stuff. These kind of things are very common nowadays. That's a great thing we have done. That's a great thing as a society we have. But we could always use more of it. And we could use more of this. And not just for each other and what we are doing right now, but there are little eyes, there are little girls out there looking up to women, looking up to and seeing how as a community we work together and we handle these things. And our society can only be benefited by women feeling more empowered and stronger together. That's just logic. That's just science. That's not any PCism or anything like that. That just makes perfect sense. Logic will tell you that. Science will tell you that, if for anything else. So that's a great event to be able to have. And it sounded like that not only is this event well attended, but you might be having more of the events like this going forward, hopefully. So that'd be great.
So the Network Exchange for Women Professionals group, that's a quarterly event. So it happens, you know, once every 3 months, and it's been slowly growing, and it's kind of gaining momentum here, and we're finding too that, you know, people or women are coming to it not only for the discussion topics but the camaraderie of other you know, women professionals in the local area. You know, it's kind of, oh, I'm not alone here, you know, so and so from this company is going through the exact same thing. So you kind of get like a little support group, you know, just like, don't lose your marbles today.
Right.
fine.
We as men, we can empathize all we want, but we're never going to be able to do that, be able to communicate like that and really truly be able to get what you guys get or something like that. That's so cool. That's a great idea. And just a shout out to Jenny as well. I've heard good things about Jenny and her and the consulting work that she does. Yes. So that's a nice get to have a part of this as well. Mm-hmm. If people want to register for this event, Promise, how can they do that?
They can visit our website at wisconsinrapidschamber.com or give us a call at 715-423-1830.
Got some upcoming workforce programs and events right around the corner as well, Promise.
Yeah, so upcoming is our ACE Leadership Program. So this is sponsored by Visit Rome. Registration is still open for participants. This is great for developing leaders within your company and relationships within the community. Another great thing that happened this year with this program is that we got an accreditation for it. We worked with MSTC here in Wisconsin Rapids, and any participant that participates this year will receive one college credit towards a leadership course, which is really great. We have somebody from one of the companies that was, you know, thinking about taking that specific class at MSTC, and then she had the opportunity to do this program with us this year, and she's like, that's perfect. That works out really well, because then she'll get that college credit towards that degree that she's working for. So if you're interested in sending somebody in your company through this, it'd be great for, you know, like maybe a new supervisor or somebody that's new to your company that, like, relocated here to work for your business. It also helps them, you know, integrate with other businesses in the area and form connections and network throughout the program. So the application deadline for that is September 20th, so it's really quickly approaching here. So the program starts in October and ends in May. And they'll meet like once a month, and they'll go through a variety of topics, and they'll explore, you know, community roles so they can, you know, further develop and enhance their leadership skills while they're participating in the program.
It's an amazing program. It's a fantastic way to not only help out our community, but to help out with the college credit added onto this and everything. So it highlights Mid-State. It gives attention to that as well. That is a event that we've talked quite a bit about, and we'll talk more about as well. But as with that September 20th deadline coming up, we want people to get it, learn about this, find out more, go to WisconsinRapidsChamber.com, and businesses out there, get your employees signed up for this one. It's a great program.
Yes.
The Business Expo is coming up.
Yes, we're pretty excited about this one because it's we're bringing it back for the first time after 3 or 4 years now. Mm-hmm. So our sponsors for this one are U.S. Bank, Security Health Plan of Wisconsin, Samuels Group, McCain's, and Marshfield Clinic, the Wisconsin Rapids Center. So there's a lot of interest, you know, right off the bat for, you know, people to sponsor and support this. So the Business Expo is an event where businesses will get together and network among each other. And then we will open it up to the public, so other businesses can come in and network with those businesses that are participating in those booths. It's really great for making connections. We do still have a few sponsorships available, so if you're interested in sponsoring or even holding or having a booth there.
Promise with this Business Expo, again, very similar to some of the other things we've been talking about, but almost in reverse in some ways, where it's businesses that are kind of in the community and able to meet you halfway, kind of be that be a bridge in between and everything. And this is a great opportunity for not only employees or, you know, employees out there to maybe find a new avenue or find some consistent work or something, but even sometimes learn more about, oh, I didn't know this business was in town. Right. So it's also a great chance for another opportunity for these businesses to get themselves out there.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And it's a great way for businesses to network with each other. So it's a little bit similar to networking at night, but over here at the Business Expo, you are able to display your products and your services and like any merchandise that you have available and really feature what you're capable of while you're doing that networking with other businesses in town. Yeah. This year we have we're going to do a little theme contest with it. So participants who are having a booth at the Business Expo, our theme is Oktoberfest. So if you decorate your booth with anything from like fall to pumpkins to spooky Halloween, we will be awarding one of the businesses with a, you know, best booth decorations award.
I want to do this just to do that. I'll be honest. I got to be honest. And just between you and I, Promise, yeah. I want to do this just so I can go ahead and decorate my booth. I love Halloween. Anything Halloween related. I love it. That sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. It's a nice way, too, to kind of like not only an event that we look forward to all the time, kind of a little bit of fun to it and everything. That's great.
Right. Yep. So this is on October 8th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Elks Lodge in Wisconsin Rapids. We do have some booths available. So if you're interested in registering for a booth, please check out our website at wisconsinrapidschamber.com or give us a call at 715-423-1830.
We'll get you that information again before we wrap up. We've got Promise in with us, Marketing Communications Director with our Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. And Promise, we've got a handful of other things that we wanted to make sure to mention before we let you guys go today.
Yeah. So we are getting ready to start filling our little spaces on our Small Business Showcase passport this year. So we renamed Small Business Saturday to Small Business Showcase. And this is essentially a event where we have a squares where all these businesses are listed on these squares. And if a customer or somebody who's shopping visits all these businesses and brings that paper back into us, we can enter them in for a raffle prize. It's a great opportunity to, you know, get out there and shop with, you know, your friends and your family. Small Business Showcase, the actual campaign starts the day after Black Friday. So it's like you still get those great deals with mm-hmm. it while you're out there shopping for, you know, getting ready for Christmas. And
Yeah. This is another fun one. I love the renaming. I love the rebranding. I love the renaming of it. It even makes it more exciting, I think. It's a really nicely choice of that. And this is another kind of bingo that you get to play with something like this, being able to do it. Another opportunity as well for you as a business out there to get seen by your community and for the community to maybe see some of these businesses that we don't even know of or get a chance to check out all the time. It's a really fun idea, and it's a fun one. We'll be talking about it quite a bit leading up to that, and it is crazy to think that Black Friday, Thanksgiving is that close. I just realized that is. Wow, that is really right around the corner, isn't it?
Yeah.
We also wanted to mention their September Member of the Month.
Oh, yes. September Member of the Month is Milkweed Market. So this is a home goods store where the products are handcrafted by people of all skill levels. It's got great decor for the home. And you stop in and check them out. They're located on Huntington Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids.
I mentioned my mom earlier, and my mom is a great gift giver, which is, you know, she's just a master at it and everything. I have tried to pick that up. I'm not that, Promise. I'm not that at all. I need help when it comes to that. Yeah. And that is where Milkweed Market saves my bacon every time. Every birthday, every Christmas, I go to Milkweed Market, I find something, I bring it to her. She loves it. Yeah. I get points, and I need those points, Promise. I really need those points. So it's a great avenue. It's great place to go, not only for local items and unique items. You're not going to find anything like this at any other department store or anything like that.
Yeah.
But with those items, part of the reason my mom loves those items, she likes knickknacks, she likes those unique things. But for her, she's got some that I bought her years ago, and she'll look at them, and every once in a while when she looks at them, she thinks about where they came from. And how the people that made them and everything, and how great the clients are over there at the ODC, and certainly what it means to put back in your community.
Right.
Yeah. It's a great win-win kind of situation where you're getting these great, unique, one-of-a-kind items while also knowing inside in your soul getting filled with, hey, I'm putting back into my community.
Yes.
It's a really great event, and it's a really good choice for the September Member of the Month. Be sure to check out Milkweed Market, everybody. Got a lot of great things in store for you over there. Promise, if you don't mind, I would like to just go back just for a second. Did you have anything else, you know, like community folder or anything else that you wanted to get into? Did you have any other topics that you wanted? I didn't want to ramble on something I wanted to get into if you had something you did.
Space real quick on the community folder. We're getting ready to fill those spaces, those advertising spaces. This folder is shared with all of our member businesses, and then it is also used as a relocation folder of sorts for people that are moving into the area. We stuff it with a whole bunch of good information for them, but on the outside of it, it has advertising, so there's limited spacing for that. So if you're interested in getting in on that folder for 2025, please reach out. We're getting ready to fill those spots.
Yeah, and that's another one of those things that I've heard from the community, how much they enjoy that. They like that. That's a great asset for not only businesses out there, but for even you guys, too. It's another avenue for you guys to promote and be able to really market our community and put ourselves out there. We got so many amazing things that, you know, I've traveled a lot this summer, especially up and down the state, and there's just no community like this. There's just no place like this. Am I biased? Yes, but it doesn't mean I'm wrong. There are things in this area that we have that others just do not. And one of the things that we've got that others might have something similar, but nobody's got a chamber like ours, and nobody promotes their area like you guys do. So greatly appreciate the work. Really encourage every business out there to reach out to your chamber. Be a chamber member. Mm-hmm. When you do that, yes, you have all the added benefits that whether it's Lacey or Promise here that we've talked about quite a bit over the years. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I don't feel like I get the chance to mention nearly enough is what it means to be a part of the chamber and to show when people see that you're a chamber member when they walk into your building or something like that. Oh, that's a team player. That's somebody who believes in this community. That's somebody who's supporting this community. It's not just the added benefits that the chamber gives to that business, but what that business can do in showing support to our chamber and to our community. It really is a win-win kind of just back and forth great situation.
I agree.
I got to admit, Promise, I threw you a curveball there with the community folder. Knocked it out the park. Nice job. Really nice show today. Really nice job. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If people want to find out more about what we talked about today, how can they reach you? How can they find out more and register for some of these events?
Well, they can definitely reach out to us by giving us a phone call at 715-423-1830 or by visiting our website at wisconsinrapidschamber.com, or they can always message us on Facebook as well.
And be sure to follow them on social media. It's a great way to keep up to date on all the things that they are doing. And you could always share those things on your page. You just never know who might see them that wouldn't otherwise. Promise, great hanging out with you today. Thanks for the time.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin wildlife officials are encouraging hunters to get their deer tested for chronic wasting disease this fall. Testing helps scientists understand CWD better. Public health officials say people shouldn't eat venison from a deer that's tested positive. Hunters should also tell the DNR about any sick or dead deer they come across. People still making up their minds about their choice for president have plenty of opportunities to size up the candidates. UW Green Bay political scientist David Helpap encourages voters to do their homework.
check the facts, go to news sources, reputable news sources. There are some nonprofit organizations out there that try to provide good, nonpartisan, unbiased information.
Tonight's presidential debate coverage begins on many civic media stations and online at 7:30. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Stevens Point receives a grant for urban forestry. The award of $105,500 comes from the Wisconsin DNR Urban Forestry Division's Inflation Reduction Act. The no-match grants target disadvantaged communities and will benefit some of Stevens Point's underprivileged areas. The grant will be broken up into three categories. Trees infested with emerald ash borer at the Madison View Apartments will be removed and 20 trees will be planted. 100 trees will be planted along streets in the city, and private property owners near the UWSP campus will be approached with a plan to plant 100 shade and fruit trees. The splash pad in Rome is extending their season until September 16th. The water in the park will be on from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily. The splash pad in Port Edwards will close for the season on September 15th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Eminem fans take note, the rapper will open the Video Music Awards. Eminem is nominated for 8 awards. On his last VMA appearance, he shared the stage with Snoop Dogg in 2022. The last time he opened the VMAs was 2010. Deadline reports that if Eminem wins even one of his 8 nominations, that would make him the most decorated male Video Music Award artist in history. He has a total of 67 nominations, which is second only to Madonna. The Video Music Awards will be broadcast Wednesday, September 11th at 7 p.m. Central on the MTV networks. There is nothing like a good snubbing. In this year's Country Music Awards, Morgan Wallen leads the field with 7 nominations, 4 for an album called I Had Some Help, on which he collaborated with Post Malone. Notably absent from the CMA nominees was Beyoncé for her album Cowboy Carter. Cowboy Carter was number 1 on the country charts for 4 weeks. The 58th annual CMA Awards will air November 20th on ABC. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Evening clouds with maybe a sprinkle or brief shower, partly cloudy tonight, low upper 50s. Mostly sunny and warmer for Wednesday and Thursday, highs into the mid-80s. Partly cloudy and low 80s Friday. Maybe an isolated shower or storm Saturday. Right now it's 78 degrees.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks at 11:33. Send in your health-related questions to Jane Says at civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, September 10th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we're having Let's Talk Real Estate time. It's our friends, Coldwell Banker, Sear Realtors. We have David Farnborough with us. David, good to see you.
It's great to be with you, James. Just blown in from the Windy City. Spent a few days in Chicago. And, of course, one of the things I did there was look at all the architecture and take dozens of pictures, as you can imagine. And that's sort of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this topic, and I did not know you were going to start there. I obviously am very biased about that city. It is my city. I love that city. But I will say, I've been around a bunch of America here, and just in the States. I've never been outside of the States. But I got to say that the architecture in Chicago stands above so many. It is really unique. It is really interesting what they were able to do there. And the rebirth of that city as well. Some of the architecture there is from that era and everything, and even some of it before that era. It's just fascinating. I love that area. And my uncle was an architect, and take me around the city looking at the Hancock and some of these buildings and just talking about the way that they were built on that land in particular, which is a whole other story. So
you're absolutely right. And what we decided to do, James and I, we talked about this a couple of shows ago. We wanted to do something perhaps a little less dry than some of the real estate things that we normally discuss. And so we're going to be talking about the difference between houses in London, which is where I'm from, and houses that we might find in Wisconsin. Now, talking about Chicago, that's actually is a quite good place to start, because you know that a lot of what dictates the construction style is the history, the materials available, and the vision. And I found that when you look at some of those early skyscrapers, people had a huge confidence to build those. You have to be able to build them, and you know you're going to fill them.
That's an interesting point.
And building with confidence is something that we still do sometimes today, even Wisconsin Rapids. So if you look at our $20 million YMCA building, they had to build that with a lot of confidence, and it's really paid off. I think when you aim high, you reach high.
I have to be honest with you, David. I was raised around architecture, and I know it quite well. I come from a city that really promotes and is proud of it and everything. It's a topic that's been on my mind since I was a little kid. I don't think I've ever thought of that angle on it, that part of it, the idea that you're going to build something. To me, I'm so focused on the building and the actual structure and all that, I didn't even think about the people part of it. And if you're going to build this, you got to know you're going to fill it.
Right.
That is an interesting aspect
of
it.
That's and I love the history of Wisconsin Rapids. And one of the first things I did when I arrived in town 15 years ago was I went to the library and I said, where are the local history books? And they told me the Dave Engel books are all over there. So I went and I read almost all of them and got myself a background in how the city was built. And when we go around the city, we can look at various phases of development that tell the history of our city. So we can see some of the earliest homes here. There's not many of them left, but from the Civil War era. Mm-hmm. There's precious few from before that, perhaps the Wakeley House, which is I think around 1840.
Yeah.
And then we've got when the lumber mills were really successful in the late 19th century, we had a load of house building there. And then, of course, we had the big mansions.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the paper mills became successful in the early 20th century, as well as having some of the homes built for the mill owners, we also had a lot of very functional workers' housing. We had some houses built with, you know, really no more than two rooms. They had an outside bathroom and a kitchen and a little area that would be for living and sleeping in. And we see those all over town. And yet some of them have been extended and extended and extended. And they're really nothing like they used to be. So, it's the history.
Well, you know, I imagine that there's many factors that comes into a home either kind of surviving, if you will, and kind of being updated or kept around, and ones that just, you know, aren't or demolished or something like that. So much of it, I imagine, comes down to building materials, certainly ownership and a lot of those things, a lot of many different factors. But it's always interesting to me to see those houses that hang around, that have around for 100 years or what have you or something.
And really the key to it is having a good roof. And where I'm from London, and like the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, we had a Great Fire of London in 1666. So if you go right to the center of London, you see no old wooden houses from before 1666. And then after that period, they said, we're not going to build wooden houses anymore. We're going to build them out of brick. where I'm from the suburbs, and really, people say to me, oh, your houses must be really old because you're from England. Mm-hmm. And some of them are, but where I'm from a part of London that was developed when the railroads moved out in the 1930s. Oh. So because people could then commute to central London for work, they built this whole commuter belt of 1930s homes. Mm. And
wow,
really, the house I own in Wisconsin Rapids is older than the house I owned in, wow, in London.
That's interesting.
So it's all to do with the history. And the roof, yes, the roofs in London, you'd usually have two materials. You'd either have tile, which is a ceramic tile, and they usually last about 50 years, or you have slate, and the slate lasts about 100 years. Hmm. I bought my first house in the late 80s, and it had a slate roof, and the house was built in about 1900, and it was just coming to the end of its useful life, and I had to replace it. Hmm. Now here we have a variety of different materials, most common being the asphalt shingle. Hmm. And that you usually have useful life of about 40 years, give or take 10 years.
You know, this isn't necessarily, I know, your wheelhouse, David, but you have a gigantic wheelhouse, so I don't know, maybe it might be in there. But just coming from my world in the construction, from my background in construction, I know that one of the things that we tended to do was looking at other companies and what they were doing, or talking to other foremen and stuff, and kind of figuring out, hey, what do you guys don't know? This works here on this type of sand, especially here in central Wisconsin, where the land can change from just 5 feet away to another 5 feet. Of that, where the idea of maybe learning from each other and sharing information across continents.
Yes.
I don't know how often that happens, but it feels like a really good idea to kind of share that information.
It absolutely is, but you've got to think about the materials available. So if you look at where I'm from in London, there were a lot of areas of natural clay, and that meant that it was very sensible to build ceramic tiles. Hmm. The slate quarries were elsewhere in the country, but they used to move them through the canals and the railroads to London.
Hmm.
Now, the other big factor that means you really wouldn't want to put a ceramic tile roof on a house in Wisconsin Rapids is that the roof beams are not made to take that weight.
Hmm.
So you don't often see that around here.
You know, David, as we're talking about this topic, I don't mean to get us off into a side avenue here, but it does come back to some other conversations we've had as far as home ownership and when you're looking for a good home. And I don't know how many people, you've brought this up before, and JR has and some others have, but I don't know how many, you know, my fellow citizens, when they're looking at homes, I hear them look up. You know, we don't think about the roof that often. I maybe you hear it more in conversation with actual buyers and stuff, and it's just me that doesn't hear it a lot in random conversations. But I have a friend who just sold a home a little while ago. I have another friend out of state, but another friend who has been looking for a home for a couple of months now. And I have not had one conversation with either of these people or other individuals in the last couple of years that I can think of about roofs. That just is one of the more important factors, I would think, when it comes to purchasing a home. And when you buy a home, you're not buying something that you want to last for a month. You want something that's going to last for a long time.
Yes, and a good roof, a leak-proof roof, is the single most important factor in protecting a building. That's what you often see with historic buildings. The reason that they fall into disrepair and sometimes have to be taken down is that the roof hasn't been maintained. The other option we have here, of course, is metal roofs, where you pay 2 to 3 times more than you pay for your shingle roof, but it could last you 80 years.
Yeah, and I imagine that it certainly depends on the structure, the type of house you have, and what kind of roof you can have when it comes to these materials. But I think we're going more and more towards steel roofs. We're leaning more and more towards that direction.
I think that's partly because when you put a shingle roof on, well, a few years later, you might change it for a steel roof, but if you put a steel roof on, you're never going to go back to a shingle roof.
Right. Yes. A very solid point. David, another thing that stands out is the siding and some of that.
Now, this is something that I never knew anything about before I moved to Wisconsin, because our houses don't have siding. When I lived in the UK, somebody told me, I'm going to replace the siding on my garage. I thought, what on earth is a siding? to me, a siding is where a train goes off a railroad track to park for the night. So we just don't have them because our exteriors are weatherproof. So typically you'd have a brick exterior, or if a house is built now in London, you'd usually build it with cinder block and then there'd be a brick facing. So they're all weatherproof. You don't put anything on top of that. The other construction method that you might use is you might build something with maybe a rougher, cheaper brick, and then you would often put rendering on. And sometimes you put pebble dash on the rendering. But all those things are weatherproof.
Right. Whereas here, not only do we have to worry about certain weather, which, you know, obviously you do in England as well, but here we lean so much into, okay, I want my house to look good as well. I'm not saying that you don't have this obviously in England, but here image is such a big deal. And I think that that comes into play as well, as long with also having your house be able to handle any type of weather.
Oh, absolutely. And the opportunity to renew your siding, it really means you can change the whole look of the house and really make it look completely fresh and new.
A lot of people, too, especially new homeowners, this is one of the ways they do this of kind of making the house their own. I hear this a lot from homeowners, you know, especially if you're buying a house that was maybe in the family, or you knew about this house in your neighbor, you know, your community for a long time, and now you're owning that house. But you want to make it your own. You want to do certain things to kind of, whether it's a new paint job or it's just the inside of the house that you completely redecorate. That is a big deal to people, especially with some of these older, more established houses.
Right. And the other thing you can do is you can change your shingle colour. Like many people in the area, I've just had hail damage to my roof and they gave me a bewildering range of shingles to choose from. And I just said to my wife, well, you pick.
Smart man. Very smart move. We're speaking with David Farnborough, and let's talk real estate with our great friends at Coldwell Banker Sear Realtors. One of the things that David and I are discussing is the differences of London and Wisconsin homes. But if I can go out west for a second, David, when I moved out and was living in California, I was, again, an architecture kid. I was blown away by the way that in California, they don't really tear down buildings. They kind of just repurpose them. And a lot of them are those adobe kind of like, you know, Mexican-influenced kind of houses and infrastructure and everything. It's really cool to see. But the thing that threw me, I go over to my friend's house. We're hanging out. And his parents were in the living room. And we weren't going to go in the living room and hang out. We'll go to the basement. I was like, there's no basement, man. What are you talking about? We don't have basements in California. Right. And I was blown away. I'm like in my mid-20s, and I did not know this. I didn't realize. So basements has got to be quite a difference between London and Wisconsin as well. While we have basements here, they vary around the world.
They do. And a lot of it's to do with the weather. So we have tornadoes here. So it has been useful historically to have a basement. Nowadays, a lot of people in Wisconsin are building homes on slabs. So they don't have a basement, but they do build themselves a safe room. It doesn't have to be very large, but just something that can act as a tornado shelter. We don't have tornadoes in the UK. We don't have really very much at all in the line of severe weather. When I was growing up, our house had a very small cellar. And it was the only one in the street that had that because it was built by the builder. The builder built the whole street and he built one house for himself and he put a little cellar in. And the cellar was no bigger than this room that we're in now. It's probably about, I don't know, 15 feet by 12 feet. Yeah. And my dad had a workbench there and there was a hole that the coal was poured down. But that was really unusual. Most suburban homes in England do not have they don't have a basement. They do have a foundation. And it's a different sort of construction from here. There's often a lot of aggregate and concrete poured in. But if you go to central London, you do find basements. And the reason for that is that space is at much more of a premium. And if you can get another floor by digging down, then you're going to do that. So if you go shopping in central London, you'll often see down that there's another floor. And those shops and buildings sometimes are many more floors high. Typically, a home in England, you just got your main floor and an upper floor.
One of the things that we talk about that comes up a lot in conversation with Let's Talk Real Estate with our friends at Coldwell Banker CEO Realtors over the years is inventory and needing more inventory, more homes. You mentioned that a lot of some houses nowadays are being built on slabs without the basement. Do you think that that could lead to more inventory if you don't have to even worry about a basement to make, that you're just building the upstairs, the upper home and everything, that we might get more homes this way?
I think it would be nice, but I don't think it's a significant factor in the cost of construction. Yeah. I think it's often a personal choice. I've shown homes to a lot of people who say they will only buy a home with a basement.
Yeah, I believe it. Just curious, just a random question here. Is there a lot of flooding in England, in London in particular? Do they deal with flooding a lot?
No, because in the 1980s, we put a flood barrier up. So the River Thames is a huge river, and it runs probably three quarters of the width of England, and it flows out to the North Sea. And it is tidal because it's so big, it has a tide. It's a river with a tide. And at some point in the 80s, they built a huge barrier up there which prevents flooding. And when the waters get up to a certain height, these big giant silver domes sort of flip over and the...
Very cool.
And London's protected.
I gotta look into that. That sounds awesome.
You do have flooding in the country and in other towns, but it's not really a factor in London anymore.
Very interesting. David, what about garages? How do those differ between countries?
Well, this is something which there are commonalities, but one of the big problems you have in London is space. Mm-hmm. So the last house I lived in was built in the 1930s, and nobody owned cars, so they didn't put a garage there. There was a space to park in the street, but that was all you could do. Now, we don't get the snow over there that we get here, and so you don't have to worry about, you know, maybe we get a couple of inches, you know, once or twice a year. Yeah. So a lot of homes are built without garages, and if you had one that was built with one in the 30s, it meant that you were a pretty well-to-do family, you know, sort of upper middle class. Any home that's built now, they will put one or two garage spaces there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because people want it. They demand it. The buyers demand it, really. If you build apartments in the centre of London, then you almost always have underground parking.
Interesting. What about the years of construction? How about that part of this?
So if you're looking at, like I said, where I'm from, London was built over many thousands of years, but a lot of the early buildings were swept away in the fire in the centre, and then they changed their attitude to building after that big event. When you're looking at the buildings in the outskirts, they were influenced by the spread of transport links. So I mentioned the 1930s railroad expansion, but there was also another big railroad boom in the late 1890s. So you'll see huge areas where there were homes built in, you know, the whole neighborhood was built in 1898 or 1902. And then you find other neighborhoods where it's all 1920s or 1930s. And then you'll find a big gap because of the war. And then you'll find after the war, houses were very, very cheap, very functional. People didn't really have the money. And then there was another big housing boom in the 80s. And people started to build on fields. Now, by this point, people were building in the areas that were accessible by the motor car. So we had these big roads that spanned all around the edge of London, and they would develop all those fields that the roads were next to with these modern 1980s housing. And it's just continued since then.
It's very interesting. David, we got about 2-3 minutes left. I wanted to talk about yards and get into that, how the difference of the yards in London compared to here in Wisconsin. You mentioned not a lot of room in London.
Yeah, that's right. And we see it here. When we're in the city of Wisconsin Rapids, we'll see a city yard. And I've seen some city yards down by the river, which only 0.11 acres, and that means you've probably just got room to let your dog out, and that's about it. And I've seen some yards here, you know, there's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 acres. So it, here in Rapids, it depends whether you're in the centre of the city or whether you're in the outskirts.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much like that in England, but London is so populous, you've got 8 or 9 million people, that there's such a huge percentage of the population live there. You know, there's only about 66 million people in total. So
wow, so, I never really thought of that.
So it's a huge
before.
Percentage Whoa. Of the population actually live in London.
Yeah, yeah.
And generally, we would have something like an average size city yard. So it would be something like 0.2 or 0.25 of an acre for a London house. Some of them don't have any yard. And, you know, you open your front door and you're on the street.
Well, yeah, yeah, that's wild. It sounds a little familiar to my old stomping grounds a little bit, actually. But it's quite interesting and really gives us a lot more questions, honestly, for both countries and follow-up. Because we're going to have to come back to this topic one day. Because this is a fun topic.
It would be nice. So, yeah, I thought it would be interesting. And I thought it would make a change from saying that houses in Wisconsin Rapids have gone up by 7%.
Right, right. So, yeah, it's a great idea. It's very good. David, if people have follow-up questions, not only about our topics today, but other ones and want to know more, how can they reach you?
Well, they can call me or text me on 715-323-8594, or they can message me through Facebook Messenger. I have a realtor page. You can find me pretty easily. It's David Farnborough Realtor.
And you can find out more at coldwellbanker.com. Be sure to bookmark that page, coldwellbanker.com. Follow them on social media. Looking forward to talking again next month, David. Have a great day today.
Thank you. You too.
More Let's Talk Real Estate next month right here at Midday Magazine on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author, comedian Roger Rittenhouse, who will discuss his new book, Big Techs, and Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison drops by to discuss their upcoming slate.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But,
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. In just hours, Democrat Kamala Harris and Republican Donald Trump will hold their first presidential debate in Philadelphia. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham with this advice for Trump.
I think President Trump would be wise to explain how he would change the country. Stay away from the personal stuff. Talk about policy differences.
Tropical Storm Francine could become a hurricane when it makes landfall in Louisiana tomorrow. St. George Mayor Dustin
Yates. Right now, wind would be the greatest concern. Down trees, down power lines, trees into people's homes is always something that we have to deal with events like this.
The Yukon Huskies went to the White House today to celebrate their men's NCAA basketball championship. Coach Dan Hurley.
You know, we said it last year. We wanted to make this thing an annual visit for us. And, you know, here we are again as as back-to-back champs.
CBS News Brief, I'm Heather Bosch.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Airports in Wisconsin are getting a share of $34 million from Washington for upgrades. The airport in Appleton is getting $3 million to add on to its terminal building. The airport in Madison is getting $6 million to fix up its taxiways. After Kamala Harris and Donald Trump debate tonight, the campaign resumes at full speed. Lisa Hale reports.
Tim Walz will be in Wausau on Friday and Superior on Saturday. Walz and Vice President Harris plan to hit every battleground state in just 4 days. While Walz stumps in Wisconsin and Michigan, Harris plans to be in North Carolina and Pennsylvania. I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News.
Debate coverage begins on many Civic Media stations and online tonight at 7:30. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, September 11th. The City of Wisconsin Rapids Police and Fire Commission will meet at 7:30 a.m. in the first floor conference room at City Hall. The Wood County Highway Infrastructure and Recreation Committee will meet at 8 a.m. at the Highway Department Conference Room. The Wisconsin Rapids Wastewater Treatment Commission will meet at 1:30. The Waterworks and Lighting Commission will meet at 2. The North Central Wisconsin Tourism Partnership Tourism Committee will also meet at 2 by teleconference.